So let's take our Bibles now then and turn to Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to be reading from this chapter, verses 11 to 15. Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 to 15. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this afternoon that we may consider how we are to leave the Lord's table and the table of the Lord. Father, we want to know your word. We want to understand it. We want to know, Lord, what our duties are as we have been blessed by coming to your table. Now, Lord, what do you expect of us as we leave the table and as we leave this hour of worship? Father, we pray that you would help us, that you would encourage us, guide and lead us by your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how shall we leave here today? We have been preparing to come to the Lord's table this week. We have come to the Lord's table this morning. And we have been fed spiritually by our Lord. And like any good meal, it is provided for your health, for your strength and your nourishment. So is this meal that we celebrated today. But all that strength and nourishment is for a purpose, that you may carry out your duties that lay before you. And so in regards to this meal, it is our duties that are laid out before us in the Lord. How shall we leave here today? Now, there are many practical things to do. One would be to prayerfully consider how you came to the table. Review and examine how you prepared for coming to the table. And look at that. Have the Lord show you where you did well, where you need to do better. Did you come in a worthy manner? That is something that we could be doing as we leave the Lord's table. These will be helpful practices for you. But coming from the Lord's table also includes a time for boasting. A time for boasting. Boasting is not something that you usually see or hear as a good thing. In fact, if somebody is known as one who is boastful, we would say that's not a good thing. And it's also not something that we're going to go around teaching our children. But when you are boasting in the one thing that you should be boasting about, it is a good thing to be doing. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He was going to boast in the right thing. In fact, not only should you be boasting about the right thing, about the cross of Christ, it would be wrong if you are not boasting in the cross of Christ. The whole book of Galatians is a contrast between the true gospel and the false gospel. There were those in the Galatian church who were known as Judaizers, who were trying to make it a requirement that even if you had faith in Jesus Christ, you still needed to be circumcised according to the law in order to be saved. Now, they were seeking this requirement, which was an Old Testament requirement, and they were seeking this even though they didn't keep all of the Old Testament law, as we just read in Galatians 6. But they wanted to impose this on the church in Galatia so that they, one, as Paul says, could avoid persecution for the cross of Christ, but so they could also say, look, we got these people to be circumcised. This is still something that they should be doing. They wanted the people to do something in their flesh so that salvation, they could boast in their flesh for their salvation. So they could rack up other converts to their idea and thinking about salvation. But Paul, by the Spirit of God, strongly corrected them in this matter with some very strong words, some of the strongest words of correction in the New Testament. calling a curse upon them for perverting the gospel by adding something in the flesh to it, which was circumcision in this case. In Galatians 1, verses 6 to 9, Paul says to the Galatians, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Paul starts the letter of Galatians with a curse upon those who have perverted the gospel, and he ends it in stark contrast with what he is going to be boasting in, and that is the gospel. The perverters of the gospel would boast in the works of the flesh, but those who come to God by faith boast in the cross of Christ. And that's what Paul was saying here. He was saying to them, you want to boast in the flesh by adding something to salvation. You want to say that that's what gets us saved. And Paul was saying, in great contrast, I'm going to boast in the cross of Christ and nothing more. So I want to exhort you today, as you leave here and as you live life in this world, boast in the Lord of the table. Boast in the Lord who brought you to the table. Boast in that work of the Lord, the cross of Christ, which brought you to the table. And while some in Galatia were trying to add circumcision to faith in Christ, we too must be careful. We can't look at this passage and say, well, that's talking about a situation back then. We also have to be careful that we don't add things to the cross of Christ and thinking that's what makes us saved. Coming to the table, for example, what we did this morning, does not make you saved. Does not add one thing to your salvation in that sense of the gospel of what a person must believe in your salvation. And so as we have come to the Lord's table, we need to be careful that we are not using our presence at the Lord's table, our participation in the meal, as a means of salvation. Because that is not what the table is for. The sacrament of baptism and communion are not means of salvation. They are signs and seals of the work that God has already done in a person's life for their salvation. It is none of your doing. The signs and seals are applied to you by the grace of God, but they are not salvation. They are an outward expression of an inward reality that God has already worked communion-wise, as God has already worked in your life. So we come to that table, trusting in the Lord, what He's already done. And we can leave that table then, boasting in the work of the cross. And that's what we're going to look at. It is this work of God, the cross of the Lord Jesus, that you should leave here today boasting in. Yes, we should leave here today reflecting on how we came to the table. But we should also leave here today rejoicing and boasting in the Lord Jesus Christ in the cross. Believers in Christ should boast in the cross. Again, that probably sounds strange to your ears, because boasting is not something that we teach. But here Paul is teaching us that. Boasting, when we're boasting about ourselves, our work or our accomplishments or who we are or who we came from, is an arrogant thing to do. And it's not something that we go teaching our children to do. So what does Paul mean here by boasting? Some translations have the word glorying. To boast or to glory is to lift the head up high. You know about people who think highly of themselves. And we even have that phrase that they walk around with their nose up, right? Because they're too high to look down or be around other people. Well, that's what boasting or glorying technically means. Somebody who's lifting up the head high to exalt themselves. But here Paul is not talking about exalting himself. He's not boasting about him, his life or his work, which comparatively to other people, Paul very well could have done because of the work that he was doing. But here he is boasting in the cross. And so he's comparing what he's boasting with in the cross to what the Judaizers were boasting in, which was the flesh. It's not likely that we're going to go around boasting about being circumcised. But we do have to be careful that we don't boast about our own flesh, our own accomplishments, our own achievements, even in the Lord or with the Lord, and thinking that this is what makes us acceptable to God, because it is not. But this is exactly what the Judaizers were doing. They were placing their confidence in the flesh, in getting circumcised, and not Christ alone. They wanted to add something to their salvation. Verse 12 tells us they did not want to suffer for the cross of Christ. Why? Because they did not value it enough. If you value something, if you place a high significant value on something, you would be willing to suffer for it. If you see that work in your life as being highly valued and treasured and significant, you would be willing to suffer for it. But they didn't see it that way. They thought being circumcised was the thing that was more valuable. They valued their works of the flesh enough, not only for themselves, but to try and convince others that this was needed for salvation. And to say that something else is needed for salvation is to diminish what God has provided for salvation and to devalue it, which is the cross of Christ. And we can fall into that trap of the devil to think that even today that we have sat at the table and therefore God accepts us. But it's just the opposite. God accepts us. Therefore, we are invited to the table to be reminded of what God has done in Jesus Christ. And so we need to beware of falling into that trap. We cannot add anything to our salvation, because to do so, as Paul said, is to pervert the gospel. And it's not even another gospel. And to do so would be to have a curse upon you. And so as we came to the table of the Lord, as we came to the Lord of the table this morning, we saw that it represents the cross of Christ. The eating of the meal represents Christ feeding His people, nourishing and strengthening them. And He truly does these things for us. By faith, we believe that what we did this morning, we were nourished, we were strengthened, we were helped in our faith, we were reminded what God has done for us, and we recommitted ourselves to walking with Him to please Him. That really went on this morning. So to boast in the cross, to glory in the cross, is to be trusting in it alone, like we talked about this morning. To be rejoicing in the cross and not the flesh is to hold the cross of Christ in the greatest light, to lift it up in the greatest significance and say, there is nothing more important than the cross of Christ. That's what Paul is saying, that he was going to be glorying in, and by implication, that is what we should be glorying and boasting in as well, the cross. But it's not the cross itself. It's not that piece of wood. It's not that tree to which Jesus was nailed to. We know that He died on a tree. We know that He died on a wooden cross. And we are not to be like some who think that they found pieces of it and found relics of it, and therefore those things are to be held up high and venerated. We know that He did die there. But when Paul speaks of the cross of Christ here, he is talking about His death and all that it accomplished. And this too is in contrast with the works of the flesh. The Judaizers believed that circumcision of the flesh was required to make peace with God. But when Paul talks about the cross, he's talking about what Christ did to make peace with God for us. When Paul talks about the cross of Christ, he is talking about the expiation of man's sins, which is to say that Christ died on the cross as the victim of human guilt. He was delivered for our offenses. He was made to be sin for us, the just one suffering for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, that we might have peace with God. And so when Paul says, I will boast in nothing except the cross of Christ, this is what he's talking about. And this is where our boasting, our glorying in the cross of Christ should be. And Paul is not saying, well, if I'm going to boast about something, I'm going to boast about the cross. He's not saying this as if it's optional. He's saying, God forbid, may it never be that I should boast in anything else, and I will boast in this. I will boast in the cross of Christ, the dying of Christ, the blood of Christ, the payment for sin to satisfy God's wrath, of which we all are due. This is what Paul was boasting in. This is what Paul wanted to glory in, to exalt in. In the cross of Christ, we see the wonderful and glorious display of the wisdom of God to save a people who were dead, by dying for those people, by shedding the blood of His Son, Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. You see, what Paul was boasting in had nothing to do with him. It has nothing to do with us. It had nothing to do with our flesh or our merits. But it has everything to do with Jesus Christ. That's where our boasting is. And we should be boasting. We should be glorying in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it should be what happened today, this morning, at the Lord's table should be a reinforcement of that. It should increase the joy in your soul, because what was demonstrated to you today was a reminder of what God has done in your life through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we boast, because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and all that God accomplished there. We boast in that. We glory in that. And if that's all we're glorying in, then we won't be boasting and glorying in the flesh. Remember what we read in Jeremiah chapter 9. Let him who glories, glories in this, that he knows the Lord. That's what we are to glory in. That's what we are to boast in. That's what we are to be rejoicing in. We do not boast that we have come to the table. We boast and glory that we have come to the Lord of the table. And that's what Paul is talking about. And so as we leave here today, that's what we should be doing, rejoicing that we were invited to the table through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoicing that that is an assurance, that is a sign and a seal that when this life is over and God gathers all His saints together, that we will be at that marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what we have to boast in. In the latter half of verse 14, Paul says, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul says, I will only boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Here Paul is telling us what great effect the cross of Christ has had on him. He no longer values or holds in high esteem what the world has to offer. This is still in comparison to what the Judaizers were doing, who were thinking that if we can get these people to come our way and act according to the flesh, then we will be recognized. We will be having something to be glorying in. Paul says, I don't even want that. I don't even want the recognition of the world. I don't value it. I don't long for it. I no longer care what the world thinks of me. Through the cross, he says, I am dead to it, and it is dead to me. As we leave here today, can we say that? That the things that happened here today are more valuable to me than the things of this world. That the Lord of the table means more to me than everything the world has to offer. That's what Paul was saying. That I'm going to boast in the Lord, and because I do not consider the things of this world to have any significance when I look at the cross of Christ. And by the world, Paul is talking about the influence of the world, the esteem of men, what other men might think of him, what other people might think of him. He talks about this, about the Judaizers. He's saying they compel others to be circumcised only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. In other words, they weren't going to preach the cross of Christ because that would cause persecution from the Jews. They were going to preach circumcision so that they might be accepted by men, be accepted by the Jews. These Jews did not want to suffer for the cross of Christ. And Paul was saying, I not only will boast in it, I will suffer for it. Because I will not hold the world and its opinions in high regard because I so significantly value the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so we must ask ourselves as we leave here today, do we highly esteem the cross of Christ? Is the cross, what Jesus did there, is it more important to us than anything else in this world? Is it more important to us than the riches of this world, the conveniences of this world, the popularity of this world, or the ease of this world? What does the cross of Christ mean to you? Now naturally, and I mean naturally, in our natural selves, we all love the world. And the things and the power and the prestige it offers But we are not natural if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are new creations, as Paul talks about. We are unnatural in that sense. True faith in the cross and in Him who hung on it crucifies the world to us and us to the world. In other words, we boast in the cross of Christ. And having been brought to that table this morning should reinforce that boasting in your heart and mind, that your joy should be increased because you, by God's grace, were invited to come to the Lord's table and to the Lord. And this is one of the things we should be examining ourselves as we leave today. What means more to me, the world or the cross? What means more to me, the world and all its offerings, or the cross of Christ and its unrivaled blessings? 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 5 tells us that the world is not something to be sought after, but to be overcome. It says this, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" It should be our aim to be more and more crucified to the world and it to us, so that we can be more and more boasting in the cross of Christ. See, what Paul is saying here is that even though I once was a Jew and I once believed in this circumcision as what made peace with God, everything has been changed now in my life. Everything has been turned around by the cross of Christ. And as we are told this here, it is not just for Paul, a super apostle or super Christian. It is for all who are in Christ Jesus. Look at how he ends verse 15. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." We are told here that it's for all those who are in Christ Jesus. We are new creations. We are to be boasting about the cross of Jesus Christ, because in Christ we are those new creatures. The world does not matter to those who are new creatures anymore. The world and its influences, the world and its prestige, the world and its esteem of us does not matter. What matters is the cross of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, "I will boast in that. Not only will I boast in that, God forbid if I should boast in any other thing but the cross of Christ." And God forbid that you should not boast in the cross of Christ. In other words, it's not only that we don't boast in the things of the world. We are positively to be boasting, to rejoice, to glory, to exalt in the cross of Jesus Christ. And my friends, quite frankly, if you are in Christ Jesus, this will be your nature. This will be the natural thing for you to do, to be glorying in the cross of Jesus Christ. For in it, you have been made righteous and made to be at peace with God. And you have a great peace. You remember, you don't remember, most of you, maybe you've read it or seen pictures or newspaper articles or something. When World War II was over, you know what happened in this country? The streets were filled with people rejoicing, boasting, glorying in the fact that the war was over. Because it was such a devastating war, it created a wonderful excitement, a wonderful joy and boasting and glorying that it was over. And I want to say to you that what has been done for you in Jesus Christ is more than a nation winning a war against other nations. You have been made at peace with God. And that is much more significant than a nation being at peace with one another. And so you have much more to glory about. You have much more to boast about in the cross of Jesus Christ. Because He, by the means of Jesus Christ, has made peace with you. In Jesus Christ, you have peace with God. And so in the cross, we can boast. And so, yes, you should be reflecting on how you came to the Lord's table. You should be reflecting how you spent your time this week in preparation coming to the Lord's table. And let the Lord reveal those things to you. Let it be the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin where it may need be. But as we leave here today, do not forget to include boasting and glorying
in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why you are at the table. And that's why now he calls you to do as you leave here, to boast and glory in him. And God forbid that you should boast in anything but the cross of Christ. So Christian, go forth today as you leave here. Lord, how shall I serve you now? I go rejoicing and boasting in the cross as a new creature, living in new ways. May God help us to do it. Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, we know that we have many, many great reasons and significant reasons to rejoice in you. But the pinnacle of all those reasons are the cross of Christ. The place where he hung and died and shed his blood. The place, Lord, where you, for a time, turned your face away from him. You did not shine your favor on him as you made him to be sin for us, that we might be made righteousness, your righteousness, and have peace with you. Help us, Lord, to boast, to glory in that, as we seek to walk in obedience to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.